Good morning. Today's daf Kuf Chaf Beis. We are starting on Kuf Chaf Alaf Amud Beis. We're starting at the Mishnah, right in the middle of the Amud. And Yishar Koach, Mazel Tov to everyone who is concluding today the Masechta. It has been a long and slightly challenging Masechta. Here we are now in the 16th parak of the Masechta, final parak and final daf, and we're discussing what we've been discussing now for the last couple of prakim. Prakim is number 15 and 16, which really takes us back to the 10th parak, and that is a desisha. What are the limits in terms of how much information, the base minimum amount of information necessary in order to allow a woman to remarry? A woman being an aguna is a self-evident, terrible situation for a woman to be in. And so therefore, what the Chachamim did is they provided a number of allowances in order for her to remarry. In other words, normally what we require as information in order to establish a fact, especially when we're talking about Eishes Ish, we're talking about adultery, if in fact she's still married. So we would normally require two kasher edim, but we for Naguna, we don't need two kasher edim. One aid would be sufficient. That aid doesn't have to be kasher. And we're going to be learning for the first time today, which is kind of funny, being that it's the last off, but we're going to be learning for the first time today. We're going to even allow the testimony to come from a guy, which in halacha never happens, meaning we normally don't allow it to happen, but we're going to allow it to come from a guy. Now, I say testimony from a guy, so that is probably not a good way to say it. That's probably it's probably going to be misleading. It's not testimony from a guy, but it's going to be information from a guy. You'll see the difference. I'll try to articulate the difference. It's a concept of Mesiach Lifitomo, and we have not brought it up until this point in time. Today, in the final daf of the Masechta, so we're going to be introduced to the topic of Mesiach Lifitomo. Right? Rather amazing how, right, 122 blot, and for the first time today, we're being introduced to a topic. But okay, that's in fact the case. We're picking up now in the Mishnah. We got up yesterday to the Mishnah, Kuf Chafal from Midbeis, and we begin the Mishnah. So you hear from women, right, that so-and-so died. So that would be sufficient information, and the woman could remarry. And Rav Yehuda says you can even have a group of children talking, and they say that so-and-so died. That's also sufficient. Whether or not the intention was to allow the wife to remarry, or even if the intention was not allow the wife to remarry, still, women speaking, children speaking. So Rav Yehuda ben Bava says, we're going to make the following distinction. If the information is coming from a Jew, so then even if the intention is to allow the wife to remarry, that's good. In other words, we can take that information, accept it, and allow the wife to remarry. The widow, I should say, now to remarry. On the other hand, if it's coming from a guy, so then I will accept the information, but only without kavana. Meaning, if the guy is providing information, not legabe halacha, not to allow her to remarry, but just simply as information. In other words, a concept known as mesiach lefitumo. The information is just simply spilling out of him. He does not know that this information is halachically required and necessary in order for her to remarry. So under those circumstances, then you can accept that information. However, if his kavana is to give edus, so then we don't accept it from a guy. So by a guy, there is going to be a significant limitation in the information coming from a guy in that it has to be mesiach lefitumo. We're going to be discussing a lot more of that over the course of this daf. We start with the Gemara, Vidima lo azlei. So the Gemara starts off with a really simple question, and that is that the women and the children are talking about how they went to a they're going to a funeral. Okay, but in other words, they're going to a funeral, and maybe they weren't actually there. So I'm reviewed. I'm Rishmol Dekarmi. How many body mikbar is mikbar ish ploni? The storyline is that they came back from a funeral. Vidama kamsa ba'ama. So the Gemara asks you're not going to hear me say this that often, an adorable question, and that is as follows: their children coming back from a funeral, and again, and we're overhearing the conversations of the children. We came back from a funeral, and it was so and so and so and so. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, okay, but maybe look, the children have wild imaginations, and what they do is that they have their little pets, and over here a pet grasshopper. and maybe they bury the grasshopper. They talked about we were at so-and-so's funeral. Maybe they named the grasshopper after so-and-so. All right, Rashi over here describes when children have little pets, they name them after people they know. So in other words, the children are coming back. They say they were at a funeral. They even articulate the name of the person they were at. The Gemara says, "Come on, you really know that they were at a funeral." So Dekamri came v'chein Rabbanan havahasam v'chein v'chein Savdani havahasam. So the Gemara says, "Okay, so here, yes, meaning we will assume that the children are in fact talking about a funeral, but with details. In other words, if they provide details in terms of who was eulogizing over there, and can you name drop in terms of anybody that was there, any notable chachamim that were there. So if they're providing rich detail, so then we can assume that they in fact were at a funeral, and then we can marry off the widow." So when we are limiting the testimony of a guy, meaning in the Mishnah we learned together that a guy, it depends on whether he has kavana or he does not have kavana. Within that, Rav Yehuda offers the following qualification. That's only if his kavana is to be matir, meaning what he would like to do is he would like the wife to remarry. So again, even with the best of intentions, meaning he's a guy, he is not, it's not shaykh for him to testify in order for a woman to remarry. So if that was his intention to provide edus, so then we're not gonna, we can't move forward based on his testimony. On the other hand, if he's just dropping information and we take the information and use it, that's fine. Within that, Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel says, That's when his kavanah is to be matir, we can't accept it. But if his kavanah is just simply to testify, the edus is going to be edus. So the Gemara says, how do I know? So I'm Rav Yosef, Bala Beis and Va'amar. So Rav Yosef says, let's illustrate this with the following example. He goes to Beis and he says, Va'amar Ishponi Meis, that so-and-so died. He seo es ishto, and now go ahead and marry off his wife. So he says it. In other words, he says that I'm providing this information so that his wife can remarry. So his kavanah hatir. So his kavanah is to permit the wife to remarry. And again, that's something we cannot accept from a guy. However, meistam. So zen is kavanah etus. But if he just simply says that he died without providing now the consequential information of, well, as a consequence of that, now you can go ahead and marry off the widow. So that's just simply a statement. A statement like that, we can accept. And Reish Lakish corroborates exactly this point. So Rav Yochanan says the following episode occurred. A collection of 85 zakenim. Amar lehem lo shanu eloshin eskavin lahatir. So making this distinction in terms of whether they're testifying, coupling it with the consequences, or just simply testifying. But meanwhile, the Chachamim don't agree. Meaning, what Rav Yochanan now points out is that this really fine distinction of giving Eidus with consequence versus giving Eidus alone. So although you're right, there are some who are of the position that such a distinction exists, Rav Yochanan says the Chachamim don't agree. So Ella Masis and Dictan involve Miskavin Ainidus or Aidus Hechi Mishkachal. So the Gemara says, okay, so if let's say this really fine distinction we're just rejecting, meaning there's no difference between giving testimony with consequence versus giving testimony without consequence. Either way, we cannot accept their testimony. So go back to our Mishnah. Because what did we learn in our Mishnah? We learned that a non-Jew can give information. So how did you understand the Mishnah? So here we are. So the Gemara says that when we can accept information from a guy, it's Mesiach Lufi Tumo. Now, again, this is a little bit hard to really conceptualize, categorize, but I'm going to try. And that is that Aedus is where he is stepping forward and saying, I have the following information that I'm going to give over. And he's going to now, quote unquote, testify. He's providing the information. Mesiach Lufi Tumo just simply means that it's banter, it's conversation that he's having with somebody else, not fully appreciating or understanding that the information that he's saying now is in fact going to be used in a court of law, allowing the widow now to remarry. So it is innocently said over, and not in the context of I need to give over this information. That's what's called Masichah Chitumo. And according to Rav Yochanan, that's the correct way to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, when it says that we can accept information from a guy, that's only in the context of Masichah Chitumo. Ki Yehuda, and he says, I'll give you an example. Ki Yehuda v'kamar v'azol manika bechivai, manika bechivai, shachav chivai. So he says, woe to this chivai. Chivai is the name of a person. He was a Jew. But this information was being provided by a non-Jew. And he says that he died. And he was just bemoaning over the fact that he died. He wasn't providing the information. He wasn't giving testimony. He was just simply lamenting over the fact that this person died. The answer of Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef said, okay, based on this information, it wasn't given to us, meaning we're just hearing the guy speak about the death of Chivai, but that's Masichah Chitumo, and that would work, meaning we can accept such testimony. And the Gemara gives a number of other examples. So somebody says, woe to the death of Parsha Zrizi, Rashi describes as Gibur Chayil. Like the man was a warrior that was in Pompadisa de Shachiv, and I'm sure he identified also who he was. And the end of Rav Yosef, either Rav Yosef or Rava married off his wife, meaning based on the information given by the guy, again, Masichah Chitumo. Another episode. Ahuda v'kamer v'azam man ika bechasa tavachasa. And again, a guy just simply remarked and said that this person died, bechasa. So Am Rav Nachman Elkim Achlu Kaver Lechasa. So and Rav Nachman also commented what happened. The fish ate him, and Midibur de Rav Nachman Azal de Vasau de Chasa ve'insavu. And again, overhearing this information, so the wife went ahead and remarried. Velo Amr Le Velo Midi, and nobody protested, meaning it was acceptable. Am Rav Ashi Shemamina Hadam Rabbanan Maim Shein Lamsof Ishto Asura Hani Milachat Chila Va'inasav Lo Mafkin Laminei. Now. The water that he went down in was Maim Shein Lam Sof. Now, Maim Shein Lam Sof, go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf. While you're standing in the body of water, if you are situated in the body of water, you're on a boat, and you cannot see the shoreline, so then the concern is, as we learned yesterday, that the current may have taken him, and he may have popped up somewhere else, meaning we don't know. We don't know about his fate necessarily. So the Gemara points out over here is that somebody went down in the water, and the information was given to us by a guy. There really are two considerations over here. One, the information is being given to us by a guy, but again, Masichah Chitumo, that's acceptable. The other consideration is that the only thing that we know is that he went down in the water. But we don't know if, in other words, it was Maim She'in Lam Sof, and as we learned in yesterday's daf, she shouldn't remarry. Okay, good. On that, we're also making a point, which quite frankly, we also said yesterday as well. L'chatchila, she should not marry, but b'di'evid, once she marries after the fact, so that we allow. Igadam in a slightly different version, Ansevei Rav Nachman Devasayu. So Rav Nachman was the one who married her off. Amar Chasagavaraba Isa, Imisa Desala Kala Islay Lamilsa. And Rav Nachman made the following argument, meaning that the information that was provided was by a non-Jew. Again, that's something which we've established. A non-Jew can give information, Masichah Chitumo, if he's providing the information innocently, not as formal testimony. Good. That we knew already. What we're litigating right now is that he went down in water. Water Shein Lam Sof, meaning we don't see, we don't see the shoreline. Again, the concern is over here is that maybe he was swept up somewhere else. Rav Nachman's going to try to give an argument, and Rav Nachman's going to say, well, this person happens to be particularly famous, a well-known individual. If he would have surfaced somewhere else, we would have heard about it. That's the argument that he's trying to give. And the Gemara just simply rejects it, meaning we don't accept that argument. Meaning, when somebody goes down in the water and it's mortar she'in lam sof, so we cannot marry off the wife, and it doesn't matter the notoriety of the individual, whether he's well known, what not well known. There is no distinction to be made. Okay, we're on Kuf Chaf Alpha Amud Beis. We're three lines from the bottom. Ha'u Ovi Kocham Da V'Kamer Leil Yisrael Ketol Aspas V'Shad Lechivi. So a guy goes over to a Jew on Shabbos and says, you're going to cut grass for me on Shabbos, and if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Much like I told another Jew to cook for me on Shabbos, he didn't cook for me, and I killed him. So much like I did that to him, I'm going to do the same thing to you if you don't cut grass for me on Shabbos. Okay, now, There is a discussion, and an extraordinarily important discussion to be had in terms of what's the correct answer to this terrible challenge of I'm either going to kill you or you're going to violate Shabbos. And there's that discussion to be had. However, for our purposes today, I'm going to bypass that really important discussion because that's not the point of our Gemara today. In other words, right, the Gemara Sanhedrin discusses exactly that issue of when do you have to give up your life, when do you not have to give up your life. We're discussing Yarig Val Yavor. But we're not discussing it, meaning I'm just acknowledging the fact that I'm moving past an extraordinarily important issue because that's not the main point of today. The main point of today is that this guy said to this Jew, like I killed so-and-so. So he now is admitting that he killed a particular Jew. And now we have the information, but only coming out from the boasting of a non-Jew. So what do we do with that? Meaning, will that fall under the category of Masiach Lefi Tumo? That's the question that we are litigating right now. So Abaye says, okay. So the wife of this woman, meaning when I say this woman, the one that was boasted by the non-Jew that he killed, and that's it. That's all the information we know regarding his end. So can we take that information and now and marry off the widow? This question was posed to Abaye. And Abaye says, you're going to be waiting a certain amount of time. Now, Tilse Rigle, we could just simply translate it easily as you'll wait 3 yantifs. Okay.
One of the 3 months that are
set. Yeah, right, correct. So, right. It's a fair question. And Rashi over here cites a epshat from the Gaonim, which is even a little bit more strange. See Rashi for an alternate epshat in the Gemara over here. Anyway, again, I'm just gonna really distill the Gemara over here in terms of what the main point of the Gemara is. He says, you'll wait a little bit. Let me go over this some more, and let me think about this some more. Amar la Rav Ada bar Ava zila kamed Rav Yosef. So Rav Ada bar Ava says, look, this is a serious question. You're gonna go to Rav Yosef. Dechar sakina. The man's really sharp, and he'll let you know whether or not this is good information, not good information. So they went to Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says, "I do know the answer, and I know the answer based on the following Mishnah." Mishnah describes the following. It's a braisa, you're right. So let's say you have a non-Jew selling fruit. So you're at the local fruit market and you have a non-Jew and he tells you this fruit is coming from a tree. I just planted it a year ago. Meaning he's telling you it's Arla. Now, of course, Arla fruit is Aser. Aser b'achila, Aser b'hana. He also tells you it's Azeka. Now, Rashi over here really struggles with the Azeka, meaning what is Azeka? It could be, says Rashi, that it's fruit that was protected and fenced in a Shemitah year, which you're not allowed to do. But Rashi says, but I really don't understand that because even if you put a fence around fruit in the Shemitah year, the fruit doesn't become usher because of that. So I'm not really following the Gemara over here. Just I'll note at this point in time, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with his grandfather. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that fruit that's protected and guarded during the Shemitah year is in fact usher. Okay. Anyway, back to the main point. So the non-Jew says that this fruit is Arla. Let's just stick with the Arla because it's the easiest way to demonstrate this idea. And so the Mishnah says that what you can do is you can ignore him. In other words, he's telling you it's Aser and you can ignore him. Why? Because when you're listening to him, what is he trying to do? He's selling you. And I'm sure we all know this, but anytime that we get any kind of advertisement about any product, so don't believe the hype. Don't believe the advertisement. In other words, they're selling you a product. Do you think they're going to be objective about that which they're selling you? So, of course not. Okay, I know it's a terrible and cynical way to look at the world. It's also true. It's just simply how the world works. The Mishnah over here acknowledges exactly this point. So, and here it works in our favor because when the non-Jew is telling this fruit is our law, so I don't know. Back in the day, if your fruit coming from a brand new tree was viewed as an attribute. Right, that's something positive. So you can ignore him because all he's doing is just marketing and it's advertisement, and you can ignore him. Okay, and so the and to finish off the sentence. So what Rav Yosef's saying is now to this woman is, unfortunately, you cannot remarry. Meaning, because what's the guy doing? The guy's going over to a Jew and says, I'm going to kill you like I killed so-and-so. So he is self-marketing. He's boasting. He's bragging. It's not innocent information being provided by a non-Jew. Mestiach lefi tumo just simply means that a conversation is occurring between him and somebody else, and you're mining the information. But information that's innocently provided. But over here in our context where the guy is bragging, here's what I did to so-and-so, I'm so great. So once you put it in that context, so then you just simply, you cannot believe him. Okay. And unfortunately, in this particular case, it worked against the woman, meaning the woman was therefore not allowed to remarry. So a Jew and non-Jew are walking side by side, and the non-Jew basically says, woe to this person who unfortunately died and I buried him. And they married off his wife. Again, simple examples of Mesiach Lefi Tumo, a conversation. Again, another example where unfortunately a number of people died and we buried them. So here, despite the fact that it's multiple people, but again, we're mining the information. The information was provided innocently by a non-Jew. You could use that information. Basically the same story. 60 people who were 60 Jews who were buried by Beitar. Could be it's connected to the revolution. Maybe yes, maybe no. Regardless, 60 people that were buried over there, and the information is given by a non-Jew, and it was Mesiach Lefi Tumo, and therefore the information was in fact used, and the widows were allowed to remarry. Okay, we are up to the Mishnah. Amad Aleph, and we are winding down here in the Masechta. Midim Laura Ner Laura Levana. So you can testify, even though it's not daylight, even though the light is provided either by a candle or it's provided by the moon, that's going to be sufficient lighting in order to be able to testify. Umasina Api Baskol. And even if it's a disembodied voice. Now, normally when you hear the word baskol, you jump to the conclusion that we're talking about some sort of heavenly voice. Over here, that's probably not what it means. In the Mishnah over here, it probably just simply means a disembodied voice, meaning that you didn't see the person, but you heard the person speak. And you could use that information. That would be sufficient grounds to allow the woman to remarry. So the Gemara gives a simple example of a disembodied voice. So somebody called out that so-and-so died and look for the person, couldn't find the person, but you heard it. So then they can allow the wife to remarry. And the person was about to be eaten by a snake, bitten and eaten by a snake. And before he does so, he screams out and he says, I'm so-and-so, son of so-and-so, and I'm about to die. And despite the fact that they went over and there was unfortunately nothing recognizable afterwards, but they did hear the voice. So that's going to be sufficient grounds in order to allow the wife to remarry. So over here, you're talking about the real limits of the information being provided. We're talking here about hearsay. Meaning, and not only is it hearsay, in other words, you didn't even meet the person you're hearing it from. You're just hearing it. But again, for the purposes of aguna and allowing the woman to remarry, so this is going to be admissible information in order to allow her to remarry. So here we are just quickly introduced to a braisa, machlos bishamay beisila. Bishamay is machber, beisila is meko. So my kamashmalan masis and he. So akamashmalan, di mishkach, l'stama de'in masin bishamay he. So the Gemara says, good. So what did we learn? Seemingly we learned nothing new. The Gemara says, no, we did learn something new. In that this is a machlos between bishamay and beisila, whether we could use a disembodied voice. And we now know that bishamay is a machmer. So when you're going through your collection of mishnayos and braisos, and you encounter a position that says that you can't use the disembodied voice, now I know Oh, so slide that under the position of Beit Shammai? We don't paskin like that. Okay. So in other words, we're more informed. Okay, so you hear the disembodied voice. So the Gemara says, look, chances are the disembodied voice is coming from a person. And whatever. And we just couldn't find the person. Chances are. But there are a couple of other possibilities of where the disembodied voice is. For example, disembodied voice could have been a shade, right? So the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Shereo lo demos adam. So the Gemara says, now we saw the image of that person. The image, he looked like a human. And shadim don't look like humans. So the Gemara says, you're wrong. Inunami dami. No, they do have a human form to them. Okay, now being that neither myself nor anyone I know has ever encountered a shade, so it's just hard to present this information as this is something which, you know, thankfully, I have no experience whatsoever. But the Gemara, a number of occasions describing shadim. So this Gemara over here is one of the primary Gemaras that describe him. So they do have a human form. So the Gemara says dechazu lebevoa. So the Gemara says inonami is lebevoa. So the Gemara says yeah, but the shade has some shade. Okay, and okay, linguistically, right? I know it has a great alliteration. So, but probably the English word shade, it's my best guess, probably comes from the word shade. So anyway, so the shade does have a shadow. So the Gemara says the Chazal bevoa de bevo bevoa islay islahu bevo de bevoa leislahu. So the I'm sorry, I skipped a line, didn't I? The Chazal bevoa de bevoa de Chazal bevoa de bevoa vidilma ledidu islay bevoa de bevoa. So the Gemara says, okay, not only did we see the shadow, we saw the shadow of the shadow. Now at this point in time, as many times as Baruch Hashem, I've gone over this idea. I still don't know what it means. The shadow of a shadow? I don't know. Anyway, it is able to cast multiple shadows. Please don't ask. I'm not sure what this means. So anyway, so the Gemara says, we know they can't cast multiple shadows. Am Rabbi Chanina, Am Rabbi Yonah Sanchida. Rabbi Chanina was told by Yonah Sanchida. Yonah Sanchida, says Rashi, was either an expert in shadim or he himself was a shade. Either way, bevo isu, bevo de bevo leislehu. So he says that, look, they have a single shadow. They don't have multiple shadows. Okay. V'dilmat sarah havai. Okay, good. All right, so we crossed out the possibility that the disembodied voice is coming from a shade. Good. Okay, so we'll put an X over there. Next possibility. Maybe the disembodied voice is a co-wife. Okay. In other words, what's happening over here is that, as we've learned already for a couple of times in this perek, so the co-wife hates her for understandable reasons. And so now, maybe the co-wife is hanging out there, hiding in a corner, and pronouncing the death of the husband. And as we talked already, entrapment, for the purposes of entrapment. So that now this woman is going to marry another man, and then her husband's going to come back, and she's going to have to divorce both men, and good. And now I got rid of my co-wife. So maybe the disembodied voice is coming from the co-wife. So the Gemara says, Tana debay Rabbi Yishmael, b'shasa sakana kosin v'nosin, afa pishein makirin. So the Gemara says, okay, it's possible. We're not going to entertain it. And the Gemara supports this with a statement by Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says at a time of sakana, so kos v'nosin afa pishein makir. Somebody is rachmana. Somebody is about to die, and what he wants to do is he wants to commission the writing of a get for his wife, and we don't know him and we don't recognize him, but he is in the process of dying. He's in a cave. He's in a pit. Whatever the horrific circumstances are. And so he is going to commission now the writing of the get. And as we discussed already numerous times, he simply wants his wife not to have to be a widow and go into Yibum. So he wants to write his wife a get. So can he commission? The answer is yes. Bishasa sakana. So what we're going to do is that we're going to give certain allowances. The people at the time don't recognize him. Okay. He identifies himself. That's sufficient information. And as Rashi points out over here, the last Rashi before the Mishnah, I'm reading the last three lines of Rashi. Hachanami kishasa sakana damya. So this is similar. It's not the same, but it's similar. In that, she'im lo tamin lezeh lo timsa acher v'teshev aguna. Meaning, because if we don't get, we're not going to get any other information. And all we have right now is the disembodied voice. And if we don't use this information, the disembodied voice, the woman's going to be in a guna for the rest of her life. And so over here, so we have some information coupled with the fact that if we don't use it, she'll be in a guna for the rest of her life. Okay. So for that, we'll allow it over here. So we're taking a halacha, which quite frankly is not the same, but we're borrowing the idea and moving it over here. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Akiva. We're up to the next Mishnah on the Amud. Amar Rabbi Akiva Kashirati Narda La Abershana Matsasi. I went to Narda in order to intercalate, fancy word to describe, adding an extra Adar. Right back in the good old days before the calendar was fixed, it was an ad hoc process. So, Matsasi Nechemi Ish Beis Deli Amar Li Shamati Shem Masina Seisha Beret Yisrael Api Eid Echad. Ella Yehuda Ben Bava. Once upon a time, this idea that a woman allowing to be remarried using the testimony of one witness, so it was not a popular position. In fact, the Mishnah here tells us it was only Yehuda ben Bava who availed himself to this leniency. There was once upon a time where the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael simply did not allow it. Okay, this is a really interesting halachic development where once upon a time this was not a popular halacha, and it became a popular halacha. So basically in this Mishnah, we're learning how did that happen? How did the halacha reverse course? So, v'numesi lo kein advarim, and I said to him, meaning this is Rabbi Kiva talking, so I said to him, that correct, meaning that's absolutely accurate. Amarli amor lehem yishmi, atem yodim sha medina meshubashas begayasos. I'm sorry, I got that one wrong. Numesi lo kein advarim. Meaning Rabbi Kiva asked me, is this true what I'm hearing? That the only one who is allowing to remarry based on the testimony of one witness is Yehuda ben Bava? And he responded, yes, that's correct. So, right. So, Amar Li, Amor Lahem Yishmi. So Rabbi Kiva says, here's what you'll do. So what you'll do is you'll say in my name, Atiyam dim shem shemedina meshubashas begayasus mikublan meramingam leil zaken. Shemesina seisha apit eid echad. So what you're going to do is you're going to quote in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, that this is in fact the halacha, that you can allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava now is corroborated, meaning that for whatever reason, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, there was a point in history where Rav Yehuda ben Bava was the only one touting this information and espousing this viewpoint. And then when finally he received corroboration that Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken also was of this position, so now the halacha, so to say, took off. And in fact, now that you said it, I remember that Rabbi Gamliel allowed for a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. V'huchzuku liyos omrim, v'huchzuku liyos mesin aid mi pi aid, mi pi eved, mi pi isha, mi pi shivcha. And not only that, but even if it's hearsay, even if it's coming from an eved, even if it's coming from a woman, even if it's coming from a shivcha, Rabbi Laz, Rabbi Shua omrim ein mesin es isha al pi aid echad, and Rabbi Akiva omer lo al pi isha v'lo al pi eved, v'lo al pi shivcha v'lo al pi krovim. And so over here in the Mishnah, counter positions. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua do not allow women to get remarried al pi eid echad. Rabbi Akiva says not through a woman, not through an eved, not through a shivcha, not through krovim. Again, these are counter positions, not the accepted halacha. V'sever Rabbi Akiva al pi isha lo. V'hatanya, the Gemara says, now as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, what did I just hear in the Mishnah? That a Rabbi Kiva will not allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of another woman. Consider the following: Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Kiva, Isha Nemes Lavigita Mekava Chomer. Uman Nashim Shamru Chacham Emeina Mas Lamar Meis Bala Nemes Lavigitem Zusha Neemenes Lamar Meis Bala Ein Odin Nemes Lavigita. A woman could be the courier of a get, right? And Rabbi Kiva offers a Kava Chomer. If the five women, meaning the five women who cannot testify, if they can be the courier of a get, certainly a woman can be the courier of a get. Because why? And why is that a kavachamer? Because stam, a woman, is believed to testify that the husband died. So how in the Mishnah could I have heard Rabbi Kiva say that a woman cannot be the source of that information, when meanwhile, I'm reading a brisa right now where Rabbi Kiva says a woman can be the source of information. So, Nashim Shamru Chacham Imhudala Mehemne. Isha Ba'ama Mehemne. So, Lokasha Kan Kodim Shech Ziku Kan Lacha Shech Ziku. So the Gemara says, okay. And so what we're going to say is as follows. Meaning, we learned in the Mishnah, once upon a time, people did not accept that halacha. And one of those people happened to have been Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, earlier in his life, was not accepting this halacha, that a woman can remarry based on the testimony of one witness, and even if that witness is a possible witness. But then, as we learned in the Mishnah, once Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin's name was dropped in the conversation, subscribing, corroborating the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that you can accept the testimony of one witness, and even if that one witness is apostle, Rabbi Kiva himself changed his tune. Meaning Rabbi Kiva himself now conformed to that position as he realized that is the accepted position. Okay. So there was a story, says the Mishnah, we're on the bottom of Kufchav Beis Amad Aleph. There was a story with a Ben Levi. They went to Tzohar, city of dates. And one of the people in the group got really sick and they had to leave him at the inn. They came back. And Aye Chavarenu, where's our friend? So Numes Lahem Mesu Kvartiv. And so the innkeeper said, he died. V'siu es ishto, and they married off the and they married off his wife. Right? Rashi says over here that the innkeeper was not Jewish. V'lote kohenes kapundakis, amrlehu lechishte kapundakis ne'emenes. Hapundakis hotzi alahem maklo v'tarmilo v'sefer Torah shaya b'yado. Now, in the Mishnah, so we are getting various versions of why we're believing the innkeeper. So one reason why we're believing the innkeeper, this is the way Rashi presents it, is because the innkeeper is providing the information not as aedus, but just simply as, I'm just dropping the information. Mesiach lefi tumo. Alternatively, the reason why this particular innkeeper is believed is because the innkeeper brought out articles, personal articles of the person who died. Okay, one of two possibilities. Amud Beis. My Greyusa de Pundakis. Okay, what exactly are we, in other words, remember, if the Pundakis is believed, then certainly, well, that whole argument is predicated on the Pundakis is somebody who is normally not somebody who could testify. So I'm Rav Kana Pundakis, over his Kochav Maisa, Mesich Lefitu Maisa. So the Pundakis was a non-Jew, okay, like I described in the Mishnah, but I described in the Mishnah because, you know, I looked ahead. Zeh Maklo v'zeh Tarmilo v'zeh Kever Shekvarti Bo, and taking out the personal items, right? This is his, these are his personal items. This is where we buried him. V'chein Tana Bebereid Rabin Yomi Barchi and Pundakis of his Kochav Ma'isa Mesiach Lefitu Ma'isa and Zeh Maklo v'zeh Tarmilo v'zeh Kever Shekvarti Bo. Okay, and it's all Mesiach Lefitumo, meaning, again, just the same position in terms of who the Pundakit was. So they said, where is our friend? So the, in other words, they're extracting the information. So over here, once again, we're going to that really fine line of what is Mesiach Lefitumo and what's Eidos. Eidos is where we're trying to extract the information, that's Eidos. Mesiach Lefitumo is where they're just simply presenting the information and we're mining it. So, if they're asking them a question, isn't that more of an extraction? So the Gemara says, "Kevin de Chazisinu Bachya Amr La Aye Chaverenu." Ah, so the Gemara says, "No, she was a wreck, emotionally a wreck," and and so they're speaking to her gently, meaning the Aye Chaverenu is not they're not trying to prosecute her. Right, well said. Right, they're not trying to prosecute her. They're just simply being a little bit gentle about it because she was clearly emotional. Amrlan Mesuk Vartiv. Okay, and then she provides the information. But again, this is not a Q&A, a formal Q&A. It's very informal. Tana Rabbanan Maisa Ba'ad Mecha Shabala Heid Alisha Lifnei Rabbi Tarfon Amrlan B'ni Hecha Tayodea Be'edus Isha Zu. So Rabbi Tarfon now challenges. How do I know this? Amar Ani V'hu Ha'ino Ochim V'derech V'radaf Achrin Gayas. and we were being chased by some army. Vinitla bichor shel zayis. And what he does is he rips out a branch, an olive branch. Upashchu vihichzir es agayis. And what he does is that he stabs. And he's able to fight back the guys. Lachorav. Amarti lo, aryeh yeshakochacha. And I said, aryeh, a big yeshakoach. Right, this is still him regaling, recounting what exactly happened. And I called him aryeh. Amar li minayin ata yodesh aryeh shmi. Wow, that was amazing. My name is actually aryeh. Kach karin osi b'iri yochanan b'ribi on his son aryeh de mikfar shechia. And he now presents to him what his full name was. Liyamim chalo meis. And then at a later point in time, he got sick and died. So in other words, he was a total warrior, right? A real, real competitor. But also he just, in other words, he unfortunately got sick and died. V'si Rabbi Tarfon is ishta. So after Rabbi Tarfon collected all that information, Rabbi Tarfon married off his wife. Rabbi Tarfon labai drisha v'achakir v'atanya. Now, what about drisha v'achakira? Meaning shouldn't we be following up with a whole bunch of questions? So, and the Gemara is going to tell a story which is nearly identical. I'm not translating because it's effectively almost word for word the same as the previous story. Notable difference over there. Previous story, it was an olive branch. Over here, it was a fig branch. Either way, upashchu v'hichzir esagayis achor v'amarti lo yeshakoch aryeh amar li yafik kivanta l'shmi shekach karin osi b'iri yochanan ben yonasan aryeh demikfar shichye l'yamim chala v'meis. Okay, so it's almost word for word identical story. Amar lo kach amarti li yochanan ben yonasan demikfar shichye aryeh. Now Rabbi Tarfon says, wait a second, let's go over the name again. You said it was Yonasan ben Yochanan. Maybe it was Yochanan ben Yonasan. Amar leilo, elakach amarti lecha, Yochanan ben Yonasan aryeh de mikfar shichya. V'diktek alav shnei m'shosha pa'amim. Rabbi Tarfon is now hammering him, question after question, making sure the details are correct. V'kivan esvarav, v'si Rabbi Tarfon as ishto, and Rabbi Tarfon married off his wife. Okay, so, drisha v'chakira, necessary or unnecessary? And the Gemara says, we have two different versions of the story, one where there was, one where there wasn't. Tanaihi, the Gemara says, yeah, it's machlokas tanaim. Well, but what is this based on? The Gemara goes on to explain. Tanya, ein bokin edin hashem drisha v'chakira div Rabbi Akiv, Rabbi Tarfon omer botkin. So, a question of whether or not you do drisha v'chakira. We have it down as a machlokas between Rabbi Akiv and Rabbi Tarfon. It's interesting because in the two versions of the story that we were provided, they're both Rabbi Tarfon. In version number one, he didn't do drisha v'chakira. In version number two, he did. So, right. Anyway, it comes out to be a machlokas. V'kamifugi b'drabi chanin d'amar rabbi chanin d'var torah echad din emamonos v'echad din emfashos v'drisha v'chakira shenemar mishpat echad yalachem. And this takes us now to, we saw this in the very beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin. And so, truth of the matter is that every court case requires drisha v'chakira. There needs to be questions, followed then by more follow-up questions. So what you have to do is that you really have to investigate the matter in every kind of case, both criminal and civil. However, what the Chachamim did is that they waived drisha v'chakira when it comes to dinei mamonos. Now, it sounds like all civil cases, certainly we could say it by lending. Okay, that's the, right? Okay, let's leave it right now by lending. Shalotin odelos bifnei lovim. And the reason why is as follows. Because if what you do is that you ramp up the regulation when it comes to commerce and lending, so no one's going to want to lend money. Meaning, what do I have to do to get back my money? We have to go to court. And these are the amounts of questions and answers, follow-up questions and answers in order for me to get back my money. I got a great idea. I will not lend money. And so basically, in order to promote lending, so we're going to reduce regulation. Good. Right. Somewhat of a back and forth in today's day and age all the time in terms of, right, increased regulation, and it's going to hurt business. Okay. Less in regulation. It'll promote business, but then, of course, people then can become unscrupulous. Okay. It's a tension. It's a back and forth over here. So now we know that when it comes to lending, no drisha v'chakira. They waived it. Now, v'maykem iflugi mar savar kevin deika k'suva l'mishkal k'dina mamanos dame, o mar savar kevin dekasharin aneshes ishlama k'dina nefashos dame. And so over here, allowing the wife to remarry, is it more monetary or is it more criminal? Right? In other words, it's eshes ish. Okay, so the Gemara says it's just now, right. Right. You read my mind. It's both. Meaning, what does he mean? Is it one over the other? It is and it is. Okay, so I guess the question now is that which one are we focusing on? Right? When providing this testimony, so what are we focusing on the money? Are we focusing on the fact that she's an Eishes Ish? I guess that's what the Gemara is hinging this question on. Okay. And then one more line in order to finish the Masechta. I'll reserve this for our formal siyum. All right, we're going to have after some time we're going to have an actual formal siyum tonight. So I'll leave the last line for the siyum anyway. But yishar koach, mazel tov to everyone for the conclusion of a long Masechta. Quite frankly, a really challenging Masechta. And good. And we will tomorrow pick up with the new Masechta of Ksuvos. Quick recap of today. Right, today's daf really focused on a brand new topic. I know it's so funny. It's the last daf of the Masechta, but a brand new topic within the world of a decision that's Masech Lefitumo. That if a non-Jew provides the information, but we didn't extract the information. In other words, we mined the information from the information that he gave on his own volitionally. So under those circumstances, that you can use that information in order to allow the woman to remarry. That is a really short synopsis of the daf today, but that's really effectively what we learned today. Eidus Isha, we also did learn today, Eidus Isha was once upon a time not a popular halacha. People did not know that. People didn't subscribe to that. Rav Yehuda ben Bava was like the lone voice in Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, we learned that at a point in time, so eventually, when Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken was put together and bolstered the position, Rav Yehuda ben Bava, so then the halacha took off. Okay, so we learned a little bit about the history of this halacha as well.